If you're into designer furniture and you want the sofa that broke the internet, you don't have to go broke to get it. Because Designer Looks Furniture has all the same styles and trends and all the quality, but without the designer prices. Check them out. Designer Looks at Value City Furniture or designerlooks.com.
Hey, this is Fred from Cowboy Mouth, and you're listening to Tina and Jeff on Floors Truly.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun, this is Tina and Jeff with Floors Truly. Thank you for joining us on a very special Friday edition of Floors Truly. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing today?
It is Friday, and it is hot. However, I hear that is going to be changing in about 12 to 15 hours drastically.
Oh, I'm so ready. I've got everything ready to make vegetable soup tomorrow. They're going to do gumbo on Sunday. Yeah. So excited. Cannot wait for this cold front. And we can actually say cold front instead of cool front. So very excited about that. And we are here today with a very special guest in front of the show's Mike Dettillier. Tell everyone hi today on Floors Truly.
Hi. Thank you all for having me on.
You're welcome. And before we get started, I just want to talk to you just for a brief moment. We want to, you know, say our thoughts and prayers are with your community. Tell us how you're doing personally with everything that's happened with Hurricane Ida.
Yeah. I mean, really everything is sort of minor to me. Yes, I have roof damage. I need a new roof. Have a little structural damage on one side that's been fixed. I had a work shed that was 18 by 38. So it was a pretty good size work shed with a ton of tools in it. It just got blown away and it got thrown onto the side of my house. And so I had to get that taken off. I sprung a couple leaks in the house during the worst part of the storm. But man, it's minor compared to some of the things I've seen in this area, especially stuff south from me. Even though I live 66 miles from the coast, we got sustained winds of 145 here. I'm doing well, family's well. And so I think the frustration for most people here, and you know, and everybody's got insurance claims and everything else, and you understand that particular part of it, but I really feel for the southern part of Lafourche and Terrebonne, which got the brunt of this storm. And I'm talking about winds of 180 to 190 miles an hour, unprecedented. And they had people living in tents and makeshift housing, trying to put a roof over their heads, people living in their vehicles. Where is the federal government in all of this? The United States, we're so quick to want to help every other country in the world and write them checks for millions of dollars and send supplies. You can't even help your own people here. The federal government has treated Southern Louisiana like an insurance claim. We want you out. And I'm just telling you, grace of God, had this storm moved, say, 30 to 40 miles east of Lafourche-Terrebonne, you would have had a direct hit in a major metropolitan area. That's how close it came. That's what 30 to 40. See, people who don't live here don't understand just how close that came to being a storm that could have. It did affect New Orleans, no question, in Metairie and those areas, but it could have been much, much worse. If I lived in Boston, New York, or Philadelphia, and this would have happened to them, you'd have had every major news outlet covering this every day. You'd have had federal aid quicker. It's over 40 days. They're just starting to get some FEMA trailers in Lafourche and Terrebonne. These people aren't asking for a handout. They're asking for help right now. These are people that work in the offshore business. You know, Port Fouchon, talking about 90% of the United States oil and gas goes through that port. 90%. I have a friend of mine who has a processing plant, seafood processing plant. He processes 14% of the seafood eaten in the United States. That's how you got treated, like it didn't matter at all. And where are our politicians? This isn't, you know, because you hear today the Democrats, you know, blaming the Republicans or Republicans blaming the Democrats. No, both of you did it. You've been sitting on your hands. Where's our United States senators in this? Bill Cassidy, you know, and John Kennedy. Oh, they can give you the Mr. Haney speech when it's election time. But where are they when they're needed to try to get help to these people? The same thing out in Lake Charles, who've been waiting for over a year, doing absolutely nothing. Zero. So if they've done something, just come tell me. I'll come on the air and say it. They won't. They're here for a photo op. Cedric Richmond, isn't he supposed to be the chief aide to the president of the United States?
Right-hand man. Exactly.
Okay, so where that's going? Steve Scalise, he's here for photo ops and to listen. But what has he done? It's over and over. All these politicians, federal-wise, they're sitting on their hands. They're playing political football with this. Fortunately for this area, they've had local politicians that have really done a good job. Like where I live in Lafourche, Archie Chasson's done a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. I see what Tanner McGee has done out in Terrebonne Parish. Other people in different areas certainly have been helped by their local politicians, but their federal politicians have done them no good. Nothing. Zip. You just better remember that, because you know what? It could have happened to you. Because some people are, well, it don't matter to me. I didn't get affected by it. Well, one day, if you live down here long enough, you're going to get affected. These are people that are not asking for you to give them something. They just need a helping hand for a little while. And the strategic part of this area is being overlooked for what it means to this country. Now, it would hurt the United States and really hurt the people of Louisiana if they cut that spigot off for oil and gas at Port Fouchon. But just think, if that happened, if you complaining about $3.50 to $3.75 a gallon gasoline, you'd really be complaining if they cut that spigot off. Port Fouchon was down for 9 days. It got hit with winds of over 200 miles an hour. Just think of that. In 9 days, those hardworking people got that place back up and rolling. They have people now, fishermen that are out there in the Gulf and all these bays and all, back fishing, if it's shrimp, crabs, you name it.
Not in their vessels that were ruined. They're getting out there in whatever they can to keep that
whatever
industry.
Whatever they can do to make it work. So these are hardworking people. It really bothers me. You hear stories of grownups, and as a grown-up, maybe you can take that for a little while. But they got kids suffering. They got kids living in, you know, a truck or a makeshift house or a tent.
I shared a story about a family that was in Dulac that were staying in their tent. Yeah. They were having issues. And honestly, the gentleman that stepped up and gave him a camper, he was a saint. The only reason why I think they got approved and the only reason why they got assistance is because they did a national story on CBS because of it.
I will thank Misty McElroy. She got the story and put it out there, and a lot of people grabbed it. One of my neighbors, Robbie Chavez, did a national story on it. Also, he was doing something for one of the cable channels, and it sort of got picked up. You got to remember, again, I don't understand how we have got to the point here where we're willing to help people that would cut your throat before they helped you. And yet people that pay their taxes, that are hardworking people, maybe they don't have a lot of ways to make an income, but they're doing this hardworking job and you're leaving them out to dry. Basically, you're on your own. That's the part that irritates me more than anything. And the same idiotic politicians that would vote for more money being put into the postal system, which is a cluster you know what now, and look what you get from the postal system today. So you got to remember who you elected. Man, they're going to sing you every song you want to hear. Let a politician come on this podcast. Let them tell you what they did to help this area. They did this. Nothing. Nothing at all. They won't come. You know why? Because they haven't done anything. Oh, well, it's the Democrats. Well, it's the Republicans. It's both of you. This isn't why this country is the greatest country in the world. It was built on a set of laws and a way of helping people when they needed to be helped. Now, we scatter this all over. And it doesn't matter who's the president of the United States. It's the same story over and over and over again. And I don't get how we've taken this wild turn in not being wanting to help people that need help, that pay their taxes and do their jobs every day. But we're willing to cut a check to any country who comes a begging, and well, I'll do you a favor if you do me a favor. Mm-hmm. Come on. That's not how this country was built. And that's the thing that irritates me. And you got people, they got a lot of butt smooches in this world that will back any politician that says the right things and they do nothing.
And I tell you what, Mike, I feel it. You know, personally, the place I'm in now is a temporary place. I live in Jefferson Parish, but I was probably one of the few that really took a lot of damage during the storm. And I'm working through that, and I'm dealing with the FEMA calls daily, and it is terrible. And actually, I had somebody at FEMA tell me the other day, they said, well, you know, we understand you're down in South Louisiana, but you do realize this affected Washington and New York. And I said, I don't even want to get into that because I already know.
Okay, I agree with you. But if you would show the sense of urgency to help South Louisiana like you did New York and Washington, it would be a totally different story.
It would. And like you said, you got people living in tents and cars, and that's not 6 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago.
It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable.
Right now.
It's not acceptable. I have a friend and a listener who's in California, and she's from here, and she's been gone years. And she saw my post about the base camps being set up. And she said, you mean to tell me 6 weeks later? She's like, they're just getting assistance. And she flat out told me, you know, if that would have happened here in California, she's like, that people would have campers in front of their houses weeks ago. Absolutely inexcusable. It's heartbreaking, especially when I've got listeners and friends that are messaging me online telling me, hey, you know, my cousin still lives in Lake Charles and their house still isn't even fixed from Laura last year. They still have a temporary roof. They're still waiting for a contractor. They're still waiting on FEMA money. I don't even know what to say to that. Like I'm trying to be strong for them, sitting here realizing our community is going through it, but these people went through the same thing last year and they're struggling. And it's a year later. There's absolutely no.
This is sort of a class backfall at what really the federal government thinks, in particularly of the Deep South and of South Louisiana. You're not in their class. That's how they're going to treat you. My thing about it is, and you hear FEMA people and people from the federal government now, United States senators, well, it's such a big overtaking. I'm going to tell you something. 5 days after Ida hit here, Tatiana Bagella, who lives on the North Shore, 110-pound lady with a computer and five people working for her, she got about 8 truckloads of supplies sent. Not once, not twice, 3 times, 4 times. In a 5-day period. So if this 110-pound little lady on the North Shore doing this off of a computer setting this up can do it, you mean to tell me FEMA can't? No, we were fortunate in this manner. A lot of faith-based groups, a lot of people from other areas that came into this part of the world to help out food-wise. I was part of a number of them, one of them being the World War II Museum in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and Stephen Watson. My daughter's a vice president there. And she asked me, Dad, would you want to participate? We gave out over 1,600 meals that day. I mean, and the line was like, whoa, you know, it shocked you. And, you know, other people have come in here to cook, restaurants have come in here to cook to help out. And man, thank God for that, that these people were able to come in, neighbor helping neighbor, if it's to put a tarp on a roof, whatever. Everybody helping one another. We might quarrel with one another down here. We might not agree, but in a time of need, we all won.
We
saw that here that you wouldn't see in a big city. And
a lot of the groups that are here that are doing relief efforts and you said serving food, they're local groups and their homes are messed up and they've come together to help their neighbors because that's
every
what we do here.
I get sick because in WWL they've allowed me to, like, every day if you have something that you know is going to happen the next day, let everybody know. And so I used to get a list and it was about this long. Now I get a list and it's about this long of people. And listen, I'll be in Golden Meadow, I'll be in Point of Chien, I'll be in Raceland, close to you. I'll be in Thibodaux. I'll be in Homer. I'll be in Dulac. I'll be in Montague. Thank God for those people that have a big heart and helped out that little more than a month, because it took a lot of effort to get it done. But my thing is, if a church group from Indiana can come here with two 18-wheeler loads of supplies, how come FEMA couldn't? How come they couldn't? How come we didn't be smart enough in this country to say, okay, in this time of need, let's do something with our servicemen to come help out. If it's clear the roads, if it's do something, to help out and give out supplies, that sort of thing. Man, you got conspiracy theorists. Oh, man, we're going to be taken over by, they're taking over the government here. No, we've come to this point in time that I don't get where this is going. And if you think it's bad now, it's going to get even worse as it goes along. So I'm very thankful for so many groups that came here and, you know, asked for assistance, asked for money. And I've been blessed. So I was able to do that. But it is so frustrating to see the stagnation of the federal government in a catastrophic situation that, you know, again, where is everybody? They come for a photo op and they go on. The president came here, got his little photo op, he's gone. But his chief aide is a guy from New Orleans, okay? Our United States senators, you know, during election time, didn't we hear them open their mouth every second? They were on every national newscast they could. Where have they been? Every once in a while, one of them sneaks into town, so to speak, and gets a photo op of talking to the parish presidents or people involved in government, and they're off.
But you're right. You they do sneak right into town.
I'm not kidding about sneaking. They sneak in and they sneak out because they don't want to face the constituents about, hey, we're not asking you for a ton of things, but it's just a little bit of help in this time. And man, I can imagine this is over a year now in Lake Charles, and they are still fighting this because you know what? They're almost saying you don't matter. Had this happened again to a major metropolitan area, this would not be the case. And it's just, like I say, not in one administration. It's been in, if people went through Katrina or Gustav.
This cost of politics doesn't even play into that. And I think that one of the real important things to understand about this community, I've spent so much time all the way down. And if you look at the path of this storm and where it really hit, South Plaquemines, South Terrebonne, South Lafourche, all the way up through St. James, St. Charles. I was in La Place today.
Nobody's even talking about Port St. John.
Terrible stuff that's going on in La Place. And everybody, these are all communities that are full of working-class people. You know?
Nobody even is talking about that. We were fortunate here with the levees. For the most part, this was wind damage. Mm-hmm. And not a combination of wind and flooding. Now, there were some parts in Lafourche and Terrebonne, and certainly in La Place, that got the flooding part of it because they hadn't finished the levee systems in certain areas. Come on, you can't have a 6-foot levee and expect that a tidal surge for a Category 4 or 5 storm. But we were fortunate here in that, also in Terrebonne. And man, listen, they've had some people that have been working on that for 30, 40 years here in Lafourche. It's a lot less time in Terrebonne, but they've done a lot of work there. That this could have been much worse. That tidal surge could have really played tremendous havoc with it. And you would have gotten a Katrina-like flooding, not because a levee breaks, because a levee could not take that storm surge. And when they talk about, you know, a 14-foot storm surge, what they're not telling you is the wind being blown off that water. Okay, 14-foot storm surge, that's flat. No water comes in flat. You be on the beach, that water don't come in flat. It comes in waves.
A 14-foot storm surge with 4-foot seas, you're now at 18 feet. And that's what we saw in some communities. You know, you look at what happened with the feet and how those people have struggled. And we've built all these massive flood systems, but there are still so many communities that need them. And Mike, I want to tell you, I think that you have been an absolute champion for that portion of Louisiana that I think so many people outside of the area don't recognize the importance and don't recognize those communities of people. And I've seen it firsthand. I've got family that lives in the Houma, Raceland area. I've watched everything. We go down to Grand Isle several times a year. We really, really have a place in our hearts for it. And one of the things that really this has affected, and I think it's fitting that it's a Friday, some of the best high school football we have in the area comes out of these high schools that are in this devastation. Fisher High School, you look at South Lafourche and South Plaquemines and all these schools that are real big football schools. And it's just, it's not there. And they're having to move students everywhere else. And I know that, you know, we've listened to some of the coaches that have said, well, kids have gotten displaced to other places. They have to go play their senior year at a school in Texas, or they have to go play at a school in wherever else. And that devastates that program, because right now those communities would be coming together on a Friday evening for high school football. It's always a big deal. Now it's not happening. And I think that's going to have moves all the way through the recruiting programs to the college ranks. And all the way up, but talk about those schools and where they are now and what's happening in those programs.
Well, school is just back open. I know in the central Lafourche part along in Terrebonne, school's been open now. I think it's about 2 weeks. South Lafourche just started to reopen. They had massive damage in that area south of the intercoastal. So that is being up, but they got a lot of work to be done. Fortunately, from the athletic standpoint, GameCoin stepped up through Matt Moscona. Matt's an old friend of mine, and he got in touch with me about, Mike, is there any way we could help him? And they came up with this idea, Matt, people at GameCoin. They gave $100,000 to the athletic departments at South Lafourche and Central Lafourche to try to rebuild those athletic programs. And just think, Bobby and I talk about this often, when he was a senior, Coach O was a junior, that what if this would have happened during that senior year and they wouldn't have won the state championship, and those memories of that. I think sports does bring us together. It is sort of the healing ointment that we can get away for a little while and cheer as one for one team. That sort of was taken away, but it is slowly coming back. Fortunately for Lafourche and Terrebonne, I would think about 90 to 92% of electricity is up, probably in the 70s, as far as cable services being brought back. And I went 6 days without telephone, nothing. I mean, there was nothing. There was no communication. I went a little over 2 weeks without electricity. Thank God for natural gas generators. You know, I think about some people here that, you know, you got to go to a certain place to get internet service to talk to family members that live outside the state. And so can you imagine if you're now 5 weeks and you have to travel somewhere to be in contact with loved ones, family members, to get in touch with your insurance agent? It's unbelievable. Now, it was just short for me. When you talk about 2 weeks, I think some people say that's a long time. That's really not long. If you compare that to people 5 and 6 weeks into this.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.
For a limited time, Comcast Business is introducing small business savings. Call now to save on powerful internet with no annual contract and a money-back guarantee. Call and start saving today. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply.
That's a really long period of time.
It really is.
It's unacceptable for any of it. The great thing about it is we saw people with energy and everybody else involved to restore power. And that was really something to see, because that first day to get on that highway and you saw every line down, more than half of the telephone poles either cut in half or down, you thought, man, how long is this going to be before this comes back up?
Changes that perspective really quickly.
You know, you saw the cavalry come in, and they did a great job.
They came in and did such a great job that I think that by the time that the Saints got going, even if they had to get together at one place or go over somewhere, people have been able to at least get, you've talked about football, bringing the community together. I think we saw some of that. And so now that we get to the bye week, we're a quarter of the way through the season, and I hate to switch gears on you, but give us your take on what we've seen so far. I think that's been a coming together for a lot of the people in the area. We have had no idea what to expect this year. It's obviously been better than FEMA has after a storm, but yeah, maybe not quite as bad as some people thought it could have been. But I think it has been a coming together thing. How do you view that?
For the Saints, it's what I expected. I thought in a reload year that this team would be 3-2. Now, the three wins and the two losses were different from what I thought. Well, one of the wins were, but I thought at the bye, this team would be 3-2. Every year, every team has a new identity. And so from watching practice seeing the little that you saw in preseason, I knew that this team had also struggled in the month of September. They had been 12-9 month of September under Sean Payton from 2016 until this year. And some of those are some of the best teams the Saints have ever had in the regular season. So what I've seen is not a surprise to me, the kind of the yo-yo. And I know Sean doesn't like to hear that, but it's true. You get the yo-yo across the board. Defensively, the Giants game to me, man, I still don't see how you lost that, but whatever. The big plays are going to kill you. But I've been impressed with their ability to get turnovers. Their secondary play has been really good, other than a couple big plays against the Giants. Their run defense is tremendous. It's something Ryan Nielsen tells me every time he comes to Louisiana line camp and we sit down, do an interview, and he's like, don't ask me about a pass rush, Mike. I want to talk about run defense. And they've done a really good job there. They haven't had the pass rush that maybe we thought they would have, but some of that having to do with losing Trey Hendrickson, Marcus Davenport being injured, and I think the best defensive lineman they got, David Onyemata, not around. Defensively, I knew this was going to be a pretty good team. Special teams has been great. Blake Gillikin, tremendous. You couldn't ask any more from him to take over for Thomas Morstead. The return game, the coverage units have been well. The place kicking game has been suck. I mean, it is terrible since you lose Will Lutz. And that goes to show you, and I always tease Abraham about it, that this next man up stupidity that you hear. Now, coaches say it because they have to, okay? They play into the media and they play into their own players. But as fans, you can't believe that. If that next man was every bit as good as that dude that's playing, you'd have a pretty good all-star team that's sitting on the bench or unemployed. And that's not the truth. Having Will Lutz come back, it should be major down the road. Now, I don't know when that's going to be. And we had on Mickey Loomis Monday, and he was very hesitant to give a time frame. Offensively, it's what I thought. I think you're going to have some high moments and low moments. The deep passing game has been very good. You'd like to see more consistency, piecing together drives. I think that's the one thing is sort of missing from this offense. But it's if you watch Winston in the past, that hasn't really been his MO. He's really been a big play type guy. So Sean's trying to work it to play to the best of the talents that are there. You don't have Michael Thomas. You don't have Traquan Smith. You lose Eric McCoy. And I'm a big center guy. I beat the drum about that. Used to be something me and Diliberto bet on often. That center goes down, we betting against that team because we know what happens 80% of the time when they lose a center. And then you lose Armstead. And this team is still 3-2. It's what I thought, but not how it would get. How they get there? That's been the thing for me. It's how they've got there. Hopefully, with some good health from McCoy, Armstead, Thomas, Traquan. Hopefully, Deontay can come back from the hamstring. Taysom had the concussion, and you're always careful with that. That the offense will gel better. But look at these stats. And it's real. The Saints have been 18-2 in the month of October since 2016. Now, they got a couple geniuses that'll tell you, oh, that's because of Drew Brees. My thing is, well, what happened the last 2 years when Drew Brees was down with injuries? Wasn't Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill part of those wins? Or were they just watching? That was somebody else other than Drew. But that's somebody who don't do their homework. They just flip it off the top of their head. And they've been 17-5 in the month of November. That tells you a lot that this team sort of hit stride in the months of October and November. And hopefully that's the case because, man, you got some games later in November that are really, really tough. Especially
yeah, Buffalo. We have a tough stretch. We've been talking about that all season. And hopefully after coming back from the bye week, we get our guys back healthy and, you know, get a complete team together, see a complete team together for the first time on the field and really see, you know, how things get going. And before we wrap, Mike, I just want to tell you again, thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for being an advocate for LaFouche and for Terrebonne. Like I said, we've got listeners all over the area and they're constantly seeing me post through my relief group, Louisiana Strong. And they're asking me questions like, I can't believe it's been 6 weeks. We're not hearing anything. How are y'all not getting assistance? How are you just getting tents? When Jeff mentioned a few minutes ago, St. John Parish, I've hardly seen any groups in St. John Parish as of lately. It's scary because I've seen the images. I drove through there. I mean, these homes, these people, their families, they're devastated. So thank you for being an advocate, using your voice for the cause, because we're not going to stop I mean, I started Louisiana Strong, 5 years ago when the floods happened in 2016, and then when Harvey hit, and then when Laura hit last year, and we're going to keep doing what we can. And Jeff and I, are using this podcast as a platform for people's voices. So please feel like you can come back anytime and voice your concerns and issues that are going on in that area, because it is important. It's important today. It's going to be important in 6 months. It'll be important a year from now, because we see what the Lake Charles community is going through from Laura. So thank you again for joining us on Floors Truly tonight. We really appreciate all your efforts. You're on WWL as far as also coming on here with us. If y'all want to listen to Mike, he's on weekly. It's on WWL Sports Talk.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm just a small part of it. They have so many people that have gotten involved, and I'm willing to help out any way I can. I think the Saints are sort of a relief for everybody. We thought maybe LSU might, but that ain't happening. This year. It's been more of a stress. You've added to the stress level. And I told that to Coach Joe, and he just sort of laughed about it, and he got his own issues. But I think, again, I go back to people on a Sunday afternoon or Monday night or whatever, and to get away for a little while and to watch the Saints and to watch a team. And I give Sean Payton a lot of credit that many organizations, when they go through this sort of change because of salary cap, because you lose your star quarterback, it's a rebuild. With the Saints, it's more of the reload. And you see the young players, if it's been Pete Werner and Paulson Adebo and Marquez Callaway and Deontay Harris and Calvin Thornbridge, how these guys have stepped into a role that was much bigger than maybe they thought before the season. Because Adebo didn't know he was going to start before the season. Werner didn't know he was going to start before the season. But all these injuries, same thing with Calvin at the offensive guard spot. Marquez Callaway had a great camp. But if Thomas is healthy, Mike's the guy. And how these young guys, man, they've kind of flipped it off. Hey, we not rookies no more, because we've played these games. We first year guys. We're not rookies anymore. I just remember this. When the day the Saints released Thomas Morstead and doing Sports Talk, the angst come out of everybody about how could they have cut loose Thomas Morstead and this and that. And nothing against Thomas. I think he's the greatest punter that has ever punted for the Saints, and one of the best draft day trades ever done to move up to pick him. But look what Blake Gillikin has done. And it's a small sample size, but man, that guy can punt. And this is a young punter here. But next year, your focus on what to rebuild is going to be smaller. You're going to have to make a decision on, is Jameis Winston your guy? Is he going to be your guy for the future? If not, then I'm going to have to go out and get me a quarterback and also get another receiver. Really built a lot of depth at positions with a lot of young players. And for the Saints, here's the best part. You ain't paying them much. Okay? A first, second, third year guy, you're not paying them a lot of money. So you can go out and get maybe a veteran here and there that can immediately help your football team. I think Sean's done in a reload year with him, Mickey, have done has been outstanding. Now, we looking at it based off of teams that went 13-3 and 12-4. But man, I covered this team when they were 3-13 and 4-12. And look what Sean has done to get this team still relevant and still in the playoff hunt in a year that I think a lot of coaches would have said, man, this might be a total rebuild. And it's not been. They played exactly like I think most of us thought. They'd be very competitive. They'd have a winning record right now. And can you build upon that once you can get healthier, if it's for Seattle, Tampa, and beyond, get this team into a stretch where they're playing really well, and the continuity part of it also, because it's not going to happen overnight. That ain't the case. You can do that in your backyard, but this is professional football where other guys are getting paid too. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have the turnover the Saints had. So, I think for me, I really have been impressed with how the young players have responded when they've been called upon to play. And not as a role player, as a starters.
What's your bye week prediction for the Saints' final record this year?
I said it would be 9-8 before the season. I wrote it back in June. Jeff Duncan came to me and said, you're going to stick with that? I said, I'm going to stick with it. Now, Abear's trying to convince me, Mike, I think you'll be 10. Okay, so if it's 9 or 10, come on. I'm in the area code. If it's 10, with this team, with so many new pieces, I do think you're going to see a little bit more roller coaster than you've seen in past Saints teams over the last 4 or 5 years. So I still believe this is a football team that could potentially be a playoff team, but I think 9-8, or if it's 10-7, is going to be the range for this team. And sort of the NFC South sort of beating up one another, you know, because I think the surprise has been the Panthers have played better than we thought. The Falcons have played exactly like we thought. And the Bucs are facing what every Super Bowl winner has to face. A little bit of you ain't homecoming team no more. And they still have Tom Brady at the top of his game. That offense can score points. Now, that secondary is El Suckle, but, man, they almost blew that game last night and gave the Eagles opportunities, which I'm surprised at. I think the NFC South with those teams, New Orleans and Tampa and Carolina, may start to beat up one another down the stretch. I think this is a 9-8 football team. They could stretch it to 10-7, but I think in a reload year, that's pretty doggone good. When you consider, I think a lot of people nationally and Las Vegas did not think they would be that type team.
Now, we've mentioned the Ed Orgeron situation, all that stuff. We've talked about how recruiting is something that crucial, and that's something that you've been familiar with for longer than any of us can even fathom. What happens in Baton Rouge at the end of the season?
You know, Ed's not going to survive this. You know, I've known him basically 50 years, you know, growing up on the Bayou, you know, you sort of know everybody, even though he went to South and I went to Central. You know, you pull for him, you know, because he's a guy. You know, I know it was a difficult struggle for him and some of the stuff self-inflicted. But, you know, that 2019 season, I would have paid somebody to cover LSU. And, you know, they didn't have to pay me that year. I would have paid them. It was so great to watch. But, you know, him and I had this conversation. I'm going to say it's probably either 3 or 4 days after the national championship. And I told him it's the most critical point in your coaching career, because you had a moment in time there that you could have changed things. You could have went out. You know, you did lose some top players to the draft, so you can't do anything about that. But assistant coaches, you could have went out and got some of the top in the country. That didn't happen. But I think what happened there is you didn't handle success well. I'm a big believer in this. Only 2% of the population in America has most of the wealth. There's a reason the other 98% don't. And some people have opportunities, but they don't know how to handle it. I think from top to bottom, LSU's structure did not handle success of a national championship and said, oh, man, come on, we're going to recruit well. We're just going to come right back and it's going to be the same. Oh, no, this no blink stuff didn't work. And it goes to show you, some people might not like to hear this, but the greatness of Nick Saban to do this year in, year out, lose people early to the NFL, just like LSU does. It's a communal world of assistant coaches. They got guys going in and out, left and right, transfer portals, you name it. And he still continues to win at the highest level. And Pete Jenkins told me this years ago, we passed him from Raceland to go to Thibodaux for the Louisiana Lion Camp. We passed in front of St. Mary's Church where they have a big cemetery. And he said, Mike, take a good look. They got about 50 dead coaches in there that's trying to catch Nick. He said, they're going to have to expand. And he's right. And I think it fell apart very quickly for Ed. It's not just one thing. But I think their inability as a football team to handle success just broke it up so quickly, absolutely crushed it. And it goes to show how quickly it can come apart on you. And he had a moment in time that he could have maybe done things a little different, because I think if you think it's easy, you're not as focused. You're not maybe spending as much time as you should at your job. You don't bring in top people. You don't trust the people that helped you get to that spot. Now you're with people that always want to pat you on the back and tell you how great you are, okay? In this profession, I see it. I see it myself with people from this area. They get a little bit of success. It goes to their heads. They work at the same. Now, you watch them. They're clinking glasses with people, you know, at midnight somewhere, or they're at this place and that place and this place. But how much are they working? Are they working as hard as they were when they were trying to climb the ladder? They're more worried about their social media posts, their status in the community, everything else. And all that does matter, but it does. It's not the big picture.
Sounds just like the politicians too. That's the
yeah.
it's all relevant, right?
It's all irrelevant, so to speak. Right. But I do think that does have, and it's part of human nature that you maybe don't work as hard. And you know, when you got 60 minutes doing pieces on you, you know, they had his mom on there, Miss Coco, and you know, and so I think that you can sort of go down a path that's not going to lead you right. Because you're not listening. You got people around you who are a bunch of yes men that won't tell you anything. And I hate to say it, but it, you know, you saw it fall apart and they're going to have to go for a national coaching search. I think the number one guy on the list for LSU, now I'm not saying it would be for me, but I'm saying for LSU, I think their number one guy is James Franklin from Penn State. He's been a coach in the South before at Vanderbilt, a winning coach at Vandy. Not a lot of guys can say that. He's a Pennsylvania guy who's won at Penn State, got great facilities at LSU. He has sort of kicked and hollered. The facilities aren't what he wanted at Penn State, and he's got some of it, but he may cash out and come back to the SEC.
You got the ear to the ground, Mike. You always do, I tell you.
Yes, and I want to tell you before we wrap, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule because we know you got a lot going on right now for joining us. We really appreciate it.
It's here because we really have a show here.
That's right.
Well, you're welcome to come back on. You have an open invitation to Floors Truly. Thank anytime you want. You just let us know. And as always, we thank our listeners for joining us today here on a special edition of Floors Truly. And I hope everyone has a fabulous weekend. Get out there and enjoy it. As always, you can find us on social media. I am Tina at The Nola Girl, as well as Floors Truly. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and also Louisiana Strong Disaster Relief Group on Facebook and Twitter. And Jeff, you can tell everybody where they can find you online as well.
Mine's simple. I'm at The Nola Rola on Twitter. And of course, if you go on Facebook and you check out the Floors Truly page, it won't be very hard to find me unless you just ain't that bright.
Everybody, I hope it really enjoyed having Mike on the show tonight. You can catch him on Sports Talk weekdays on WWL Radio. He's a regular. We're so excited now to get to hear him every single day. So thank you again, Mike, for joining us tonight on Floors Truly. Everybody have a fabulous weekend and we'll see you next week.
God bless Louisiana.
That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.